for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, July the 4th, 2010. Ronnie Bejew is the speaker of the service, teaching on The Church is Living in Its Finest Hour.
I'm going to have to make you relax because what I have to say to you tonight is very prophetic. God laid this on me before we left. And so if you need a title, The Church is Living in Its Finest Hour. Are you with me? And everything seems to be flowing, but what God has been saying thus far in the camp. Last year I spoke to you on the basis of there is a voice, and behind that voice is a spirit that was trying to deaf the ears of God's people. They're trying to mute the voice of God. There is a spirit in our country right now who is trying to silence the voice of God. Think about it. I have never literally been to hell, but my wife and my family and I in the last 2 years have gone to hell more than once. And I thank God. I would not trade those moments for all the riches and wealth of the world. Because through those trials and through those turbulent times and persecutions, I saw the hand of God move. And I realized now that the greatest enemy that stood between God and myself, your greatest critic is yourself. So the greatest enemy that we still have in the church is right between your ears, called the carnal mind. It is an amazing thing to me how we can go from year on and year out and go through the motions. You ever notice church folk, they come to church and, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, I'm so glad to be here, I'm blessed. And the minute you walk back in the car, bam, you're right back in a war zone. And your praise should be a praise, but it becomes an ouch, ooh, you hurt my feelings, don't look at me that way. What's the matter with you? Am I talking to the right church? How many of you can say in this last 6 months you have really felt pressure in your walk with God that you have never felt before? And the rest of you, don't know if you want to admit it or not. Or you're liars, or what do we have here? Let's investigate. I'll get the bishop up here and lay my hands on y'all real quick. The brother brought a wonderful message the other night. The Bible says we have power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Is that correct? Y'all might be nervous because I'm trying to get comfortable. And I'm not going to turn this loose until you get comfortable. It's pointless for me to preach to you an anointed message if your spirit's not open and your heart's not ready. We just as soon think, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to heal. La 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 la. We are the army of the living God. Amen. He is still Jehovah Ra. He is the Lord of Sabaoth. He is still God Almighty. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. It doesn't matter if I like it. He's still Lord. Yes. And when I'm in the press and I'm being pressed upon, I don't like it. But he's still the way. I got somebody back there cheering me on. Come on, sister. Preach the gospel. Glory to God. You have your Bibles? You have your weapons? Lift it up. Turn with me to page 356. Isn't it one church, one God, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all? I want to take you to the book of Ruth and talk about living The church is living in its finest hour. And by that, is Richard here? Richard Tate? Wait a minute, brother, are you here? You're not in here. Richard was speaking this morning on a topic I thought that was very unique about independence, really. And I noticed that y'all were just cheering him on. I never heard one amen. But I knew God was doing something, because he broke the word of grace into two compartments. And one was relationship and the other one was ownership. Now, if you're a coward, I'm not. I asked myself about five different times, how much of me does God not own? And I didn't feel a, I didn't feel a jerk. I didn't get a goosebump. Because when heaven gets real quiet, the one thing that I notice God is doing, he wants you to see you for what you really are. And I believe if the church ever took off its mask and its facade and all this cosmos that they put, all that play acting they do in the church, if we ever took it out and find out what we're really like, Jesus, we'd probably learn how to pray in tongues real quick if we don't. That's not just a language for you to sound like a bunch of gibberish. There's power in you. There's power in me tonight. There's a river of God inside of us. Can I tell you, I'll preach in a little bit, there's a reservoir of untapped resources in every one of us. And I believe if the church turns around, America will turn. We're going to put the ball in our court tonight. America, church, America is waiting for you. You're not waiting for her. He gave us the land. He gave us the liberty. I watched young men die in war. I watched some of my friends die in war. And I asked the question a zillion times, why am I here? To satisfy the politicians? To try new weapons? To prove that we're still the most powerful nation in the earth? There were no resources in Southeast Asia that we needed. There might be a few in Iraq, in Iran, when you get to Ruth, say amen. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, very simple. Now, everybody say now.
Now.
Not yesterday, not the day before. Present day reality, now. We have come to a place in Scripture where now Ruth is the young Moabite woman. She's Gentile nature. We have just been through the book of Judges. And I believe Judges was a type of reformation of apostolic assignment for the earth. Because in the book of Judges, we find a young woman named Deborah. Deborah is the woman in the Bible that most churches don't want to believe that there can be women pastors. Or women apostles. My favorite soapbox. I have two spiritual leaders over me, and both of them are women. I need help. One of my spiritual mothers is my spiritual intercessor, and the other one, she's a woman of God. She's a German Jew, born again, loves God. So loved to the Lord. Ruth comes to a very hard place in her life. She hears of this Lord, Savior, this God of plenty. Do we have enough messages in the church world and television today about you need more money? Isn't it amazing that I could teach you a message, Bishop, right now? Seven ways on how to be a blessing to God instead of getting a blessing from God. How many of you don't go, bless the Lord, and say, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. No, we ought to be blessing Him. Here is a typology, a young woman who is now married to Naomi, who is a typified type of 64 Christian. Everybody say, what's 64? saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, go to carry your Bible to church every week, and just love God, that all you do is read your Bible, shake the preacher's hand, and go home and get fat and sassy. I'm trying to be hermeneutically correct. Naomi loved God. Naomi typifies the true church that has really fallen in love with Jesus. And no matter her turbulence, and no matter her heartache, and no matter her failures, and no matter her sufferings and afflictions, she will come to a place where her husband now loses his life, dies, and yes, she is left widowed with two daughters-in-law, and then now her sons die, and she has two daughter-in-laws. And we're going to go somewhere with this. There are things in your life and things in my life that are missing because we have been mishandled in the church. Paul said, as anybody here is the sinner, I am the chiefest of them. Amen. If anybody's ever sinned against people, I have. Arrogant, know-it-all, I'm the preacher, don't tell me how to do it, I read the book. Now, wouldn't you love for me to pastor you? See, we don't understand suffering until we go through it. And after going through it, hopefully, we have passion for somebody else who's going through the same thing. Are you with that? The book of Ruth is important to us because it is part of the genealogy of which Jesus came. Ruth typifies someone that is in the church that loves God but has never married Jesus. If you put positive and negative together, you're not going to come out with zero. Until Ruth got to the place in her life, there was no shift, there was no alignment, there was no divine intervention. The only example she had was to watch the life of Naomi. And if you're real Pentecostal in your preaching, you would know that Pentecostal was at 60 in the holy place, not the Holy of Holies. It's a place of 64. Ruth gets to the place of Pentecost and she stops. And my question to you tonight, how many of us are still standing but we've stopped? How many of us are still praising but we haven't changed? To Ruth, Naomi was the only example she had of the real God. Naomi was the real deal. She was Moabite. She had many gods. And they weren't good ones. Aren't you glad tonight that we still serve the one true God? How many of you love Jesus tonight? It's interesting because we're living in the year 2010. 1,000 means maturity. 2,000 means double. 20 means a time of waiting and redemption. 10 is a number of divine perfection. And we will see this number 10, if you study the book of Ruth, exemplified over and over and over. At the beginning of the year, I always ask God, what is your word for us this year? And I saw the Lord in the Spirit saying that the heavens will align with, the earth will align with the heaven, and they will become one, and God's going to come back to the church in spirit and power and take over. So say goodbye to your programs. Say goodbye to your Hollywood gospel singers. Because, honey, if they're not anointed, they're very annoying. And it's not waiting till the end of the service to tell the preacher, man, brother, that was a great, glory to God, that was a great message. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, did you hear from God? Did God say anything to you that would radically change the way you think? Because when you change your mindset, you change your culture. If we're still thinking the way our forefathers thought 2,000 years ago, we are still doing what they did, and it's not going to get us further down the road. But we are living in an hour, if you go back to the book of Numbers, in the midst of that book, there was another generation that came up, and his name was Joshua. But I've got another generation on the horizon, and his name is Benjamin. He is the son of the right hand. He is the grace of God. Do we have any Benjamites in here?
Very few people said yes. It's amazing how people, they want to belong to something. If I'd have said Judy, I should go, yes, yes, yes. Benjamite, yes, yes. If I'd have said, anybody here from Saul, you'd say, ooh. Or the first church of the Frigidaire. Well, I better leave that alone. We're now seeing a paradigm shift, just like we did in the book of Ruth, book of Numbers, book of Judges. God raised great men and great women of faith. And if I can get anything across to you tonight, the church is living in its finest hour because now is the time to possess the land. And we who are getting up in years will have to turn around should the Lord tarry and lay hands on these little lambs, the generation coming before us, after us, and pray to God to have mercy that the importation of what He has given to us will take them and usher them all into the Holy of Holies, where there is only a supernatural light of God, and only by praying into the getting into the presence of God, can you get there? You will never attain to the presence of God by praying on the porch. Praise is from the porch, but worship is in the palace.
Hallelujah.
Come on, preacher, say, I have left the porch, and I'm headed to the palace where King Jesus lives, my Father lives. His throne is there forever and forever. There is none like Him.
Yes, Lord.
He is my hero. Only out of brokenness comes humility. Now, you couldn't have convinced me. Not moi. My wife is going, not much further than 2 years ago, I was some arrogant little Peabody. And if I didn't think you lined up with my doctrine, brother, you're out of here. Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's drink. Let's drink. Let's drink. Everybody drink. Drink, 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 drink. Y'all better loosen up. I'm not going to stand up here and read notes. The Bible says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man. I say certain. See, I'm certain of this. I'm a man. And I'm here. Of Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, the house of praise. Watch this, how it's set up. Went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech. He's the apostle. And the name of his wife was Naomi. She's beautiful. She's also bitter. Say, how can you be beautiful and bitter? How can you? Why are you? So, Mahlon, Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Everybody say, there. If you read the book of Amos, I love this in Bible school. We had major prophets and minor prophets. I never figured that one out. I taught Bible school. I still haven't figured it out. How you? I can be Amos,
and I be Isaiah,
but I'm minor, and you're major.
That's right.
So one brother told me, I know. I said, well, tell me. Isaiah had more to say than Amos. He did? Did he not? He most certainly did. So, let's read on. I'm going to do like Richard. I got my notes all mixed up. I think for the church to experience a finest moment, finest hour, for all of us. Now, I'm just going to give you what the Holy Ghost gave me. First of all, we must reevaluate our purpose. Why are we here? Some of us are from Louisiana, some of us from Tennessee, maybe Mississippi, Missouri, Kalamazoo, Texas, you name it. We're from every walks of life. And we gather together for one purpose. We want to be intimate with the Father. It's wonderful to make Jesus Lord, Savior. It's quite another thing, though, to make Him King. Because now the King comes and He dethrones you from your heart and He sits on it. And He rules. And He does not ask your permission. He's the Commander-in-Chief. And when He awakens you, He doesn't want to hear, "I'm tired. I had a bad hair day yesterday, God. Don't you know what they said about me?" No. Neither do I want to know. Get up. Judges. Gideon. A coward. How many cowards do we have in here? I noticed nobody raised your hand. How many would you like to be called bold, courageous, man of great faith, woman of great vision? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Now put your hands down. Now, how many cowards do we have in here?
Yeah.
Then you must not be walking in it. We've got to realize that these people, our forefathers, were people made out of flesh and blood. They didn't go to a theological seminary and end up in a cemetery. Well, some of them might need it to be in the cemetery. Some of us probably need to be buried. Some of us have died. We just forgot to throw some dirt on us. Because we think we can still sit on the porch in our rocking chair and say, "Praise thee the Lord. His mercy endured forever and ever. Praise thee, Lord our God. His mercy will never end." We sound like Hollywood. "Will never end." Oh, my God. I wouldn't even come off the throne and look at that. Father probably looks at Jesus and said, did he say anything? But I'm going to leave my comfort zone. I'm fixing to reevaluate my purpose. I'm going to be Ruth. I'm going to reevaluate my purpose. I know that Naomi's got it. And I know that I can get it. If somebody would help me preach just a little bit in here. Hey. Where's my organist? I ain't quitting. If you think I don't have bulldog tenacity, I went to apply for a job at Walmart. My wife said, "Maybe God is trying to tell you He doesn't want you to work at Walmart." I said, "I don't care what that dumb computer said. I don't care what that man said. That computer's going to listen to me. I'm going to go if it takes 15 more times, and I'm going to get through." And I still didn't get hired. But I wanted to prove to that computer I had bulldog tenacity. As far as I was concerned, I got it.
You got it.
Somebody just needed it more than me.
Nothing.
Y'all better loosen up because it's not near 12 o'clock yet. I got about 20 more points. Sharpen your pencil. Hallelujah. My wife said, "Get with the program." So in doing this, when Ruth got to a place where she lost her husband, and she has to reevaluate her purpose, she has to rethink her position. My good Lord. He plucked up and died on me. Now what am I going to do? My hubby is gone. My sugar daddy's left me. What am I going to do now? I'm not old enough to get Social Security. You know they're not going to give me food stamps. I mean, my Lord, do you know who my father-in-law is? He's of royalty. Do you think that I'm going to go... I allow my pride to go ask them for food stamps?
No, not going to do it. But perhaps you hadn't had the waltz of humility yet. Perhaps we hadn't experienced what Paul the Apostle experienced. Light affliction. We stub our toes and we cry like a bunch of wimps. Oh, that hurts. And I wondered if we had the spikes in our hands and through our feet and stabbed us in the, how we would react to that pain. It's an amazing thing how humans react to pain. And thank God we're all different. We all act differently. But what we have to do as we revalue and rethink our position is, through the midst of the pain, can we still see victory?
Amen.
I never forget, years ago, we'd been involved in the faith church, and you know, you go to faith church, you talk faith. Praise God, brother. Hallelujah. All my needs are met. Glory to God. You ain't got a dime to put gas in your truck and you're driving. Glory to God. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. Hallelujah. And then you go on this little venture on your own. And I was not able to do any construction work, so I took up commercial fishing. I've been on the business end. Now I'm going to be on the work end. And I'm driving down the highway and my boat fell off of my trailer. And I cannot pick it up. I look like the Beverly Hillbilly coming down. Boy, that thought I was high. I built this boat with my hands. This was my boat. And I'm driving along and all of a sudden I notice I don't even have a boat on my trailer anymore. But I'm confessing. I'm prosperous. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. I'll never be broke another day of my life. Hallelujah. I'm saying on the right thing, y'all. But in the back of my mind, I'm going, how could this happen to me? Have you ever had your soul scream at you? How many of you know that your flesh has a voice? The rest of you are lying. I know you lie. My flesh has a voice. And I tell you what, he is very opinionated.
Oh, yes, he is.
And I've never had him to agree with me. We can't even pray the prayer agreement together. Long story short, these two great big Texans come out of the truck, pick up the boat. Well, I'm not going to let these guys outshine me. I got them there and got my share of it. And when I did, the motor just slammed on my hand. Whammy! Drove a pin right through it. Suck it up, brother. I tied that old sucker down and I'm coming down the road. Hallelujah. I can't drive with this hand. It's a stick shift. I'm going to hold my knees. I'm healed by the stripes. That blood is just going. My heart's going. I'm going, oh, Jesus. I don't want to look at it. I deny that it's there. I ain't looking at it. This is where we've been.
Right.
We're not even dealing with reality. It's nothing but fantasy faith.
Hallelujah. Come on.
And my daughter says, when I go home, she said, Papa, your hand's busted. You got a hole in it. I said, that's a lie of the devil. I got no hole in that. Who are you kidding? Don't you know who I am? Well, I didn't plan on going this way tonight, but here we are. I'm so deep now, I can't swim out. In 3 days, God manifested like I don't even have a scar. But it was not my faith. It was the mercy and the goodness of God. The Bible said it is the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. And I believe when little Ruth had to rethink her position and her condition, I believe she had to make a few turns in her life. I believe she knew a little bit about repentance because Naomi had lived the life up to this point. And she knew if she turned her life around that she could find the God of Naomi and she would be his God. It would be her land and it would become her people. I'm warning, if the church will ever emerge and rise up and say, we are one land, one people, one church, one voice.
Amen.
I'm about to preach myself happy. Sometimes we have to redirect, to reconnect.
Yes.
Watch this. And we may have to go into some of the old fields.
All right.
She's gleaning. How many of you like watermelon?
Yeah.
How many of you know if a bunch of occasions to get some trucks and we go out and get all the watermelons out in the field, there ain't going to be a whole lot for you to be. I don't care if you're Puerto Rican and I'm Cajun. You ain't getting no of my watermelon. If you have a piece of watermelon, you'll be blessed if it fell off the truck. Hey, Ruth, this is all new to her. How many of you, when you came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, you knew everything? Oh, you did? You quoted the scriptures. The Spirit knoweth all things. And I have an unction for my function. And that's why many of you never became teachable. You have what we call a free spirit. They say, well, he doesn't do deliverance. I probably do more deliverance than many of you do. Only two, three preachers in the whole city that still believe in casting out devils. That doesn't leave a whole lot of help. I got pastors calling me and said, I got a guy in my church. He needs deliverance. Can I send him to you? I say, what's the matter with you? Do you eat the same bread I eat? He said, yes. I said, are you a believer? He said, yeah. I said, you got a ministry. It's not a set aside as an identity. It's the believer's bread.
Come on. Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Bible said that Jesus cast out devils by the finger of God. You've got to cast that sucker out, and you got to tell him where to go. You have to decree and declare. And if you've never prophesied, you need to prophesy to your soul. So you're going to straighten up, and you're going to work with God, and you're going to believe the word, and you're going to get up and stand up for yourself. The pity party, well, man, I haven't been trained like you. I didn't get mine watching Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, and some of you don't even know who they are. Let me get to the younger folks. I didn't grow up watching Spider-Man. What other? Batman. No. Here comes Robin. Choo, woo, choo, pow, pow. Oh, yeah, wow. Boy, if we could ever take that and learn how to use the Word of God. I never noticed Jesus spending a lot of time fighting with devils. He said, you, talking to Satan, you're going to worship the Lord your God. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And God has the channel, you're it.
That's right.
That's right.
If you don't like your situation, say something to it. Your poor pastor, he's so loaded down because every little wimp you have a pastor. I feel that it's this spirit, and it might be that spirit. And I don't know, maybe three more came in with that one. And I thought, if you know so much about how many of them came, why don't you do something about it?
Uh-huh.
Why are you asking me?
That's right.
They used to come in my office with lists. And back in the early days, we had what we call the shotgun method. We just had a whole list of devils and say, now, do you have bitterness and resentment? And we just go, you know, by the time we got through them, they didn't need deliverance. They got it. They got some good deliverance. Because
yeah.
We didn't leave any stones unturned. I'm sitting in my office one day. I've been pastoring for 3 years, and the Lord says, I'm going to teach you how to discern. Throw that stuff away, put it in the garbage can. I got a 2 o'clock appointment. I'm going, come on, give me nothing. And here comes that little Methodist woman. She, oh, Pastor, it's worse than last week. I said, we ain't done nothing. I mean, it's worse than last week. You have no idea how many she had last week. I said, we're going to do something different today. She said, what? I said, I don't know. Just bow your head and pray. We prayed. And all of a sudden, word of knowledge, boom. Discernment, boom. Started popping. I said, you spirit of this. She got free. She canceled the next 2 Tuesdays. And she called me. But I'm not there. She said, I was just wondering if I needed to have a checkup.
Oh, y'all are not real. Come on, help me, somebody. I need a checkup. I said, I'm open. Here's the condition to your checkup. You need to bring your pastor with you. My whole schedule changed, Sister Nancy. The Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Assemblies of God, the Baptists, none of them wanted to come back because, but their pastor, my pastor doesn't believe in that. Well, I said, sugar, I'll help you as much as I can. How about if I give you some literature? Oh, he won't read it. That's of the devil. I said, then I have one big suggestion for you. Get out of that dead church. Get into a church where God is moving and the power of God is moving, and don't settle for dead religion. Ruth, just like a typical believer, spent a great part of her life gleaning, and she never realized at that moment, till she met Boaz, that she could own the whole field. And some of us are living beneath our privileges because we have never dared to want to marry the king. Of course, you know what happens, lady, when you get married? You get pregnant. And men. And you forgot to birth something. We're living in the greatest hour of the church because now we have to birth something into this younger generation. Should we go the way of the grave? Now, I know I might not agree with some of you. You don't believe you're going to ever die. Jesus is coming in your day. That's fine. I agree with that. But if you don't, here's the greatest legacy. You can live this generation behind. Oh, you ought to give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
From nothing, from a Gentile thinker to a Christian believer in just a short period. Because Naomi was more than just Pentecost. She was a mother. And you know how mothers love to nourish their children. I know some mamas will scratch your eyes off if you mess with their kids. But she was like typifying the Psalms 91. She was like the hen who gathers her children. God is gathering us in this hour because we are the remnant of grace. Everybody say, grace. And we have come to a revelation that we don't have to break our backs, beg and plead, because we know that the Father has already provided. Can I paint this little picture for you? You're not ready for bed. It ain't but 5 minutes to nine. Man, I'm doing good. I'm going to stay on point one. Watch this. Jesus spoke to the disciples and he talked to them about, oh, ye of little faith. Now, the Jewish commentary has a little different take than we might understand. But when he said to them, oh, ye of little faith, and he said, does not your Father himself, one translation said, feed the little sparrows? Now get this picture in your mind. Two little sparrows picking in the grass. They get up from the grass. They go up into the branch. They eat what's on the tree. They fly to the next tree. And they don't worry about how they're going to get that food. But we miss the part. He said, your heavenly Father. If you look at the literal translation, he absolutely hand feeds them. And here we're worried about how we're going to pay our utility bill. Somebody say, oh me, Aiden found me out. Come on. It is important for the hour that we're living in to reevaluate our Christian values. How many more men need to come? How many more messages need to come and tell us we need to take our country back? Are we going to wait until the day of Noah when the Holy Spirit of God sealed the ark? Can you hear them, Tom? They go, Uncle Tom, it's Ben, open the door. I'm not running a little late. Uncle Tom, Uncle Rosero, please open the door. I didn't mean to be late. And hear children and babies crying, famine, and they're hungry, and they have no food, and the water's rising. I woke up about 2 weeks ago and I was absolutely grieved.
Hallelujah.
I woke up and I said, God, is it possible that our country is gone? A realization of, are you kidding me? I sacrificed my life for this country. And countless men and women, that we will allow someone with a reprobate mind, an infidel that rejects the gospel, that we're going to let them take our country? Would you let them take all the food from your covenant without putting up a fight? I don't think so. It's time for us to wake up. I like these. I don't plan this message. You can just say what God said. I could give you 3 ways on how to get victory. That's not what you need to hear tonight. We need to deal with the reality of where we are and why we're going through these things. Without pain, there's no victory. Without stress, there's no peace. Paul said we've been perplexed on every side, but we haven't been defeated. Paul told the church at Corinth, you need to see your ministry. What is your purpose in the body of Christ? What is your ministry? If you have no idea what to do, first thing you need to begin to do is to do the work of an evangelist. Your neighbor needs you. Oh, but we don't talk. We had words. Make it right. And go talk to your neighbor. You notice that Jehovah's Witness doesn't have any problem knocking on your door. The Mormons don't have problem riding that bicycle on their mission field. But we will find every excuse in the book why we don't have time to talk to our neighbor. We're living in an hour right now. It's time of restitution. And after we have turned from our wicked ways, how many times do you need to hear 2 Chronicles 7:14? How many times has it been mentioned by different people already? I believe that's what God is trying to say to us. Maybe we need to turn from moral decay. Maybe we need to turn from corruption. Maybe we need to turn from hatred and anger and bitterness. Maybe we need to reassess our positions tonight. See, Naomi had heard that God had visited Moab and he was giving them bread. And she returned to Judah while she was in Moab. Now, at this point, Naomi is bitter. There are a lot of bitter people, angry people in our country right now. In church, it's not the lost people's position to change our economy, to change our policies, to redo our constitution if need be, put the right people in position, which is not going to solve all the problems. But what's going to solve the problems when we, the people of God, will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wickedness. A complete turn. Turn in Hebrew means repentance. Brother, we don't preach about sin and repentance in our church. By God, we're way beyond that. That's your problem. You're way beyond. And hope not out of reach. Let me hurry quickly. So we got this. Reevaluate your purpose. Rethink your present condition. Redirect and reconnect some of your old field. It's good to go back to some of your old landmarks. Let your mind go back to some of your old past victories. David proved to us when he faced Goliath, he says, I killed the bearer. Stop mortal moving out. Bearer. Killed the bearer. That's a bear. I killed the lion. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is he that would try to defile the armies of the living God? And you know Goliath probably going, look here, dude. You little chihuahua. You know chihuahuas can be mean. They can't bite your knees, but they sure can play hard with your ankles. And they make you, they may almost make you wish they were a pit bull. You try to kick them out. I never forget my oldest brother coming back from college. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard somebody, oh, God, dog, please, kicking the dog against the thing. But the dog was caught. I'm sorry. I need this. Okay. The dog was latched to his heel. and he kept trying to kick the dog up. Mama wakes up. She says, "What in the world is going on?" He said, "What in the world is biting me?" Oh, she said, "That's Fifi, my new chihuahua." Meet Fifi. And sometimes the enemy will try to convince us by biting us on our ankle, because see, your ankle has to do with your walk, your conduct. Sometimes your conduct needs to be brought back into order with God's conduct. Sometimes your moral clarity needs to be cleared up. God's still the way maker. In this point in time, the girls are going to be asked by Naomi to leave, and she kisses both of them. But one of them betrays her and leaves, and the other one clave. I want to say to some to you that is absolutely awesome. I shared with Bishop and some of you while we were having conversation. There are really only three types of people in the world and in the body of Christ. There's friends for a season, friends for a reason, and friends for life. For you pastors, be encouraged. If they left you, they were only friends for a season. Are friends for a reason. But though that he has assigned and which stick to you and be like adhesive, like glue, cleaves to you, they're friends for life.
Yes, Lord.
Everybody say life. See a bunch of y'all fanning. Is it really warm in here? Secondly, we notice in the life of Ruth as she begins to walk and continue to walk with Naomi, she has to reaffirm her family values. Son shall be restored to the father be turned back to the son. There is plenty of dysfunctional and tearing down of families in our country. You're looking at a man who is still believing for God to restore his two sons to him after 35 years. But I'm telling you what, honey, I ain't giving up until my last breath. I was encouraged this week when I heard about this woman who went to this abortion clinic and prayed. Every day, was it you that shared that? Who shared that? 20 years, they shared this situation. Every day, if I got it right, every day, they went to this abortion clinic. And they weren't radical and prayed until one day, God closed it. Not one shot was fired. Not one person was arrested. But one day. God close it. And for some of you, I can discern in the spirit tonight that many of you are waiting for your family members to return. It may be the day that you least expect it. They'll come back. I had a prophetess tell me the other night that I will dream dreams and the word runs deep in me. But see, she didn't really know a whole lot about me, because what she was trying to say to me, but I was understanding, was this. I've had dreams. My oldest son calls me on the telephone and says, "Dad, I got saved last night. Glory to God. And I'm going to Bible school. I'm going to preach the gospel. I want to continue your legacy." I heard him in a dream. God brought him to me. And my youngest is right behind me. It blesses me when I see the Rosario family and all their children serving God in ministry. What a blessing! What happened to them can happen to you and can happen to me. We have hope, but we're going to have to reaffirm our family values. We got to realize that our family is the most important thing to us. When we were part of a charismatic church, we called them the Cruzomatics. It's all about ministry. Families had no play whatsoever. All about faith, your prosperity, and oh, how anointed you were. You were more anointed. We were more annoying than we were anointed. And our children were dying by the wayside, and we had no idea what was happening. You see, for God to take everything and bring him back full circle, first thing he's going to do is bring the family back. Because a family is a strong unit. You lock elbows. It doesn't matter how impossible it looks. It doesn't matter what the enemy said to you. And may I tell you, when the devil speaks to you, he never speaks in second and third person. He speaks in first person. He makes you think you are thinking that. That lying sucker. Come on. And you say, I was praising the Lord and I had the weirdest thought. You didn't have any thoughts. He was projecting thoughts. Boom. Here you are praising God and you're thinking about, oh, did I leave the roast on or did not leave the roast? God could care less about your roast. He's got more roast than you could ever cook. But that you keep your mind on Him. The Bible says in Colossians, set your affections on things above. Some of the things we may be hearing tonight might sound foreign to us. But we have to stand together, not divided. It's time for us to put all of our pettiness aside. Our disagreements. We have more disagreement in churches over doctrine. But I've never heard two people disagree about Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? He said, well, I believe the scripture says this. He said, no, I believe it says that. Well, what does God say about it? What does it say in the book? If you read it, you can't misquote it. Can you? We talk about affirmative action. If you read it, you can't misquote it. Realize that tragedy is only temporal. How many of you have been through some rough stuff recently? Come on. But godliness is eternal. Three times Naomi tells her, return back. And then she comes back and she says, turn again. Turn is a command. She tells him, are you going to wait till I remarry and have more babies? Gee, by that time you ought to be grandma. And marry them? He says, turn and go. Orpah is the type of gazelle in the church. Free-spirited. I'm going to go here. And I'm going to go there. I'm going to go here. Next week, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to here. My tithes go here this week. Next week, they go there. I'm so free. You're messed up. And somebody needs to arrest you to keep you from yourself. Because you're an accident looking for a place to happen. How many of you have been in the military? How many of you gentlemen ever told the CEO you didn't think he knew what he was talking about and you were going to take over this command? I guarantee you he will reassure you and reaffirm you of your values. This is what they told me. I'm weighing 119 pounds wet. We've got two sizes in the army. And they don't fit all. Too big or too small. I got the too big. I rolled my pants up to my knees so I could walk in them. Hold my britches up. And I'm 119 pounds soaked, mean looking, muscle. Part Puerto Rican and part Cajun. I'm about to tear down some walls, sir. They give me an army and a pack that's heavier than me. And the first march is 25 miles. We get back, we take that pack off, we ready for some chow, man. And the sergeant says, dress up, stand up, let's go, move it. Hup, 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 hup. And we're about, our tongues are hanging out, said, double tongue. That old rifle weighed 11.5 pounds, it now weighing 35 pounds. My pack is weighing 50 pounds. I'm almost outweighed. My boots are too big for me. My pants are dragging. My shirts are sticking out that far. My head would turn sideways so big. This is Christianity. They come into the likeness of God and they've had no good mentoring, no mentorship, no spiritual fathers, no spiritual mother to lead them and guide them and help them in the things of God. They're left to themselves. They end up being gazelle. They end up going here, they're going there, they're going up, they're going down. They don't know where they're going. You cannot leave a child unattended to. And the pastor doesn't have a heart for people. He just wants a big church. It's kosher to have a big church. Because you say something and everybody agrees with you. So I'm right. I've got thousands backing me up. You might be the wrongest thing that ever hit Brooklyn, New York, L.A. I'm not going to take time to read 2 Chronicles 7:14. Been read enough. The third thing, and we're going to close with this. We need to reestablish our love for God, country, and fellow man. 44 years ago, I left Southeast Asia. A young man,
mourned, scored, emotionally upset, confused, mad, want to slap the first thing that grinned at me. I have no idea why I've been in war. But in Southeast Asia, something happened to me. I'm sitting on this bunker filled with sandbag. We had underground bunkers. Now, I'm not a moon worshiper, so please don't try to come cast no devil out of me. I'm looking up in the sky, and the moon is bright. And I saw this hand go up into the sky. And this marvelous presence came over me. And I knew that which what I was looking for was right before me. But I didn't know how to appropriate what I was looking at. So the following week, we go to base camp, out of the jungle to base camp, and they've got this tongue-talking preacher in the tent. It is hot, 140 degrees. There is no breeze. I'm going to go to church. I'm Catholic, so I said, Captain, may I be excused this morning? I want to go to church. Oh, yeah, son, go to church. Go have all that religion you want. I can hear the preacher, glory! I have no idea what he's doing. I get up to the flap, and the flap is going, it was full of the Holy Ghost of God. And I get all the way up to the flap, and two humongous arms lock up and pull me back. I'm going, nobody's standing around. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to get in. I'm going to get in. I'm going to get in. I want to get in there. 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 And for years when I got back, I said, Lord, why couldn't I have gone into the tent? He said, because those things that kept you bound knew that I was in there and didn't want you to be free. But I sent a messenger during turbulence time. I sent a messenger to you when you were in the midst of a divorce. I sent a messenger to you, and all I had to tell you was that I love you. This thing just didn't want to stay up, did it, brother? Did the anointing or what? Oh, you annoyed?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. And he's one of my best friends. And he witnesses to me. Well, I just couldn't hack it. I told him where to get off. I gave him the left foot of fellowship. Keep him out of my house. I know God. I know where he lives. But through a time of pain and great turbulence, he came back. And he came back. And he came back. He was like a bulldog, man. He came back and back. And he said to me, you need Jesus. And the Lord is saying to America, you need Jesus. And who do I have? But you. Will you and I go and fulfill our assignment? Do you know that the Lord still believes in the Great Commission? Oh, no, brother, that's an old doctrine. No, that ain't an old doctrine. That's a scripture. And that's a command of God. He didn't say, if you please, if you vote on it, and everybody agrees, we all have to come together and be in one. He said, no, go ye to all the world. And I'm warning tonight, and I'm closing. This is my last closing. Don't make a lie out of me. Is there something in your life that's blocking you or holding you back to being all that you can be in Him and to do all that you need to do? If that's you tonight, and you feel that you've been hindered, and maybe it's not just you. Maybe it's something spiritual. Maybe something spiritual did you. But you being blocked. You've got stuff. I'm about to say stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be looking at my stuff. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't look at my stuff. You got your own stuff. Look at your own stuff. Because this is where we are reestablishing our family and our brotherhood and becoming one with our country. There's nothing in the scripture that says that the eagle doesn't survive.
Because eagles are smart enough to know when there's a lot of turbulence down here, we're going up, buddy. We're going to lock wind, and we're going to get in that wind that's just going to lift us up, and we're going to soar above all the problems. Oh, but we're not just escaping. We're soaring to where He is so we can go and get a new assignment. Said, General Jesus, Private Bijou reporting, sir, what do you want me to do now? If we will begin to change our mindset and quit being so independent and become dependent upon Him in everything, if we could start our day every day and ask the Lord, what is it and who is it you want me to see today? And by the grace of God, don't read them Genesis to Revelations. Just let the love of God that is shed abroad in your heart shine upon them. I remember this song many, many years ago. I used to sing it. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? Who do they need? They need you. They need me. They need you and you and you and you. We're living in the greatest hour of the church. Not only is God going to expose you for you to see what you're made out of, He's going to show you His goodness and what you can really accomplish when you do it His way. Because let's face it, we've all tried it our way. And we have what we have. And some of us ended up with more stuff than others. But it's still stuff. Amen? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. That was nice to you tonight. It's only 9:20. I got another 45 minutes in me at least. Glory. I'm just getting warmed up. Raise your hands. Now, this is a moment that you're going to take. This between you and God. I don't need to know your problems and your differences of opinion and all that. But God has already searched your heart tonight. I saw it in the Spirit. You make it right with Him. Say, Father, you know, you talk to Him in your own language. I don't care if you pray in tongues or pray in English or just pray silently. Give it to Him. Let your heart cry. Say, Lord, deliver me from stuff that I don't need. And send me to places where I don't want to go. And God, wherever you send me, I pray that your Holy Spirit will go before me. Hallelujah. And open the doors that no man can open. And shut the doors that no man can shut. Because there are souls out there and people out there that need the Lord. Lord, rent our hearts. Search our hearts like your word says. And know us. But most of all, let us have a fresh revelation and a fresh understanding of who you are. Because we are the people of God. And we are marching through this land. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, just for a few moments, we'll be up here to pray for you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.